Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and here with me in the studio are Ben Huff and Eric Johnson, both here to talk about a new book called Barrow Cabins by Ice Fog Press. Welcome to Juno Afternoon.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Ben Huff, let's start with you. You're the founder of Ice Fog Press. Would you tell us a bit about it? I love the name, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. It's a small indie publishing company. I have a little studio downtown. I'm a photographer as well. So I have a studio downtown that I work out of, and I make prints for some other artists and photographers out of that space as well. But then I also make these artist books, essentially, with photographers and artists and sometimes writers who I want to work with. It's an idea, something that I've wanted to do way back when we lived in Fairbanks in 2005. I've been making my own books for a long time. And here in the last few years, I've started working with other artists and photographers and writers to sort of bring these little objects into the world.
How many books have you got out?
Through Ice Fog Press, this is number four. Oh. This is the fourth book. Yeah, and then we'll have
Excellent.
Another one this winter. Yeah.
And as you mentioned, you're both photographers, mm-hmm. but Eric Johnson, you did the work for Barrow Cabins. It's a collection of 22 pictures. And how did this idea come about? You want to talk a little bit about the concept?
Sure. Well, it started, it was a project that kind of happened out of an accident, or to a certain extent, or was not something I had planned on. I was invited, hired on editorial assignment to go to Barrow to photograph scientists that were monitoring the plume of chemicals beneath the old Navy base there. And I did that during the day in the summertime. This was back in 2010. And then after we were done, we'd have dinner, and of course it's still light out, and I had all this time to kill, and I made a trip out to Point Barrow, where there's a seasonal hunting camp that I had been told about, and was fascinated and enamored by the cabins there and how each one was completely different. I had this long-standing fascination with makeshift architecture and sort of improvised architecture in these structures. Each one was completely different and reminded me almost as if they were portraits of the makers. So I set about being very focused and making a series of pictures of those cabins with a large format camera. And I came back and I liked them, but I didn't really know what to do with them. And then it was a year and a half later that I decided with a friend of mine who was also doing work up there, different work, that we were going to go back up in the winter. And I had a very, very, very specific focused idea of going back and making sort of counterpoint images of the same cabins, same vantage point, but in the winter. And to talk about that seasonal shift and to talk about light and dark and white, the white out of the snow ice. And set up the time, went up there, and we're lucky enough to be blessed with like really nice weather, extremely cold but very beautiful light, the quality of light in the wintertime there when the sun is still hanging below the horizon, but there's a little bit of a window of light was just otherworldly. So yeah, that's where it started.
It's kind of a whole new meaning to waterfront property, those cabins all along the coast there. So what sort of challenges did the light or lack thereof pose for you as a photographer? And what sort of techniques did you employ for these photographs?
So I'm using a large format film camera for them. So there's a quality of light that in a 4x5 sheet of film is transformative. And in the summertime, the exposures, because the light was still, it was almost like the opposite of dusk-like light, but it was still not that much light there at that time in the summertime. So they were longer exposures. And in the wintertime, there were long exposures as well. And under difficult circumstances, if it had been windy, like dramatically windy or stormy, it just would not have happened. And it would have been an idea that I would wait to check off for many years to come. But there was nothing too scientific about it other than trying to be exactly where I had made the pictures a year and a half before. And so I had little laminated photographs of the summer pictures I took with me just to kind of eyeball, I am here, this is where I should be. And in most cases, I could see exactly where I should be. But in a couple of cases, and they're in the book, there was a cabin that was there in the summer and then it was gone. It had been removed and there was a trace of it, which was fascinating because, you know, time passes as well as things shifted. A chair had been turned over. A new part of the house had, or the cabin had been built. Those little things really were interesting and appealed to me as well.
Well, that did answer one of my questions of if you attempted to replicate the first photograph and the second photograph that you took in the winter. These cabins, of course, have to be functional. They have to stand up to summer and winter weather. But is there an artistry to their construction as well? Like, what drew your eye? What drew your camera?
Well, I think, like I talked about, there was a sort of idiosyncratic nature to them. Each one, there was no code that you had to worry about violating certain municipal codes on construction for these things. It was one, like, how ambitious and how hubristic are you going to be with your structure? So some of them are really kind of quick slapdash little things. And other ones are like two-story, and they're like, well, I think I'll have a veranda on mine. And I think, you know, and they're dressed up a bit more. And so however much you felt like contributing to them, and the materials were all, for the most part, salvaged or used from something before, which I love. And then a lot of them have children's things that involve children's play because families would go out there. So there's swing sets that have been fashioned out of other weird material. There's a basketball hoop. There's a BMX bike ramp. And I love those little things. There's an old tricycle that's off the side, which is kind of also an homage to this photographer, William Eggleston. But those sorts of things I found fascinating, that they were places where people had constructed their ideal little cabin.
Well, I was lucky enough that you brought a copy of the book so that I could flip through it. I don't know if I can recreate my first reaction when I saw the first photo, but they really are remarkable and very striking, and I gasped when I opened it. So, Ben, what made you want to take on this book?
You know, I've known Eric's work for quite a while, previous bodies of work and books that he's published with, you know, reputable, more conventional photographers, you know, hardcover monographs, beautiful, beautiful books. This work I've always loved, one, because it's Alaska, right? Mm-hmm. And this book is centered around, or this press is all, you know, work of work from the North, particularly contemporary photography from the North. So I was, you know, interested in the locale, obviously, but these cabins have always been so, they're like, it's like the work is like a little poem in a way, right? There's so much detail in them. There's so much detail between the summer and the winter and the winter and the summer. There's so much about sort of the strength of photography packed in each one of these little images. And whereas other bodies of work of Eric's that are larger, sweeping, and employ portraiture and different themes and different threads and different ways of approaching them, this work was always so very simple and very graphic, and maybe not a body of work that would lend itself to the style of books that he's made in the past, but it always something that when I first saw it, I envisioned it myself, thinking if this was my work, it would sort of fit in this mode of like an artist book, which is what we made here. And I reached out to Eric, and I don't think it's something that he had thought of necessarily as a book, but in what we made here, I think it's this perfect little capsule for this small, poignant little poem of pictures.
Do you agree, Eric?
Yes. No, it was really, when Ben reached out to me, he's right. I had not been pushing to publish this as a book necessarily, but I'm a big fan of his work, and I thought, let's talk about it, figure out the right way to do it. And I thought, and I think we've done that. And to his point, it was really important that this book had been published by a press here in Alaska. It felt that feels very strong to me. I felt very strongly about it. And all the little details that he geeks out about making books, as do I. And so where can we kind of connect with the structure and design of the book as well?
Is this a big departure for you from other work that you've done?
Not necessarily. I think that to Ben's point that, you know, sometimes you work in very large, sweeping, you know, multi-year ambitious projects that you just sort of obsess about and become neurotic about and blah, blah, blah. And with this, it was really made over like 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, it was made, the work itself, I mean, it was made over the span of 2 years, but it was 2 short concentrated periods of time. And I think sometimes we get caught up in our own obsessed minds as artists, but sometimes the best work happens in a very concentrated like moment where it just happens and magic happens. And I feel like, not to say, I'm not saying that this is magic, but it that's the sort of time that that happened to me with this work. And so it's been fun to revisit this work in book form.
And what did you learn about Barrow or Utqiagvik while you were up there?
I learned the price of frozen Maine lobster in Utqiagvik, in Barrow at the time.
I don't know if I want to know.
Which was nuts that there were frozen lobsters in the commissary there. But I learned a lot. I mean, the amount of climate change research that's being done by scientists that is being – like the old Navy base there now is a hub for climate research. Some really amazing scientific research and the migratory patterns of bowhead whales under the ice. And so I was able to spend a lot of time learning about that, spent time with folks working on birds, ornithologists that are up there, learned a little bit more about the Inupiat peoples of Barrow as well, or Utqiagvik, and trying to learn as much as I could during the time that I was there while being as focused on just this little project as I could. So, yeah.
And would you go back again?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Yeah.
7 years later.
Seven years later. Yeah, exactly. How many of these are still standing?
So if you want to get your hot little hands on this cool new book, how do we do that?
We're selling them online currently at icefogpress.com. But more importantly, tomorrow night at our space downtown on Seward Street, 222 Seward, we're having a book release party from 7 to 9. We'll be there.
Excellent.
With books and, yeah.
All right. And will you be there as well, Eric?
I will be there.
Great.
Love to see folks. So come on out.
Excellent. Sure. Well, the book is it's beautiful, true work of art, lovely photographs, and very unique. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. So, again, the book release party is tomorrow, Friday, August 23rd at Ice Fog Press, 222 Seward Street, number 211. And you said from 7 to 9?
7 to 9, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.